This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'll be hearing about our poetry and also about our music. Cara Dillon's joining us in the studio, and this is fabulous. So have a listen to this particular tune.
Smoothed by the love of a hand, sea glass of blue and green, sharp edges gone now by the shape shifting sand. Give anything but give. Feathers found in the forest, a cross made of rushes, a stick weathered, not broken. Give anything but give. Penny from your pocket, hair for the locket, a book dog-eared and tired that might just hold a mystery unfolded. In my pocket I found from you the sweetest treasures wrapped in follow the trail into the light. Inside
It is Cara Dillon, and it is Cara Dillon in the studio with me as well. Cara, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
You're a busy woman. My goodness me. I'm looking at the gigs that you're doing. London, Northampton, Chester, Scunthorpe, Westport, Dunleary, Birmingham, Brighton, Teddington, Bradford. It's non-stop. Locally, you'll be in the Marketplace Theatre in Armagh on the 21st of March, and you'll be up at the Guildhall on the 22nd of March. So people will be able to hear you in Armagh, 21st of March, and Derry on the 22nd of March. And you're also around in Belfast as well, the Crescent, and you're going to be down in Dublin at Waterstones as well. That's linked to the book.
Yeah.
Because you're not only singing your book of poetry as well. How on earth do you fit it all in? Because you've recently been in Glastonbury, you did Glastonbury. You just seem to never stop.
It's just the passion for it, Frank. I absolutely love it. We live and breathe it. We've been doing it now for like 20 years. And, you know, I think when you're so, you know, passionate about your work, it's really good fun. And I think, you know, with art, you're constantly trying to create all the time. And so this whole poetry is just an extension of what we do. It's kind of poetry put to music and singing, and it's really refreshing. You know, I don't ever tire of what we do. We're both the same. We love performing live, but we also love being in a studio recording. So
yeah, when you said both, Sam, and he's there drinking coffee, you know. Are you the task mistress or is he the task master? Who gets the most out of each other?
I think, you know, when we're recording, I'm kind of always like the hyper bunny. I'm like, come on, we need to do this, we need to do that. When can we get someone in to record cello or whatever? And Sam produces the albums, and he's a fantastic engineer. But, you know, when it comes to all the other stuff, he's amazing. Like he essentially manages us, and, you know, he's had to learn now all about the whole releasing a book. And I don't know how he does it. We had a delivery of 3,000 books to our house last week. And he's got it all sorted. He knows everything that's going on now about releasing a book. So I couldn't do any of this without him. I like to think we're a good team. But at the same time, I just open my mouth and sing, Frank, and hope for the best. Whereas Sam's doing quite a lot of the hard work.
But you've also got that lilt. You know, it's one thing opening your mouth and singing. It's been blessed with that lilt that you have, which also comes across in your delivery of the poetry. Creating the poems, how much of a challenge was that? Or did that just happen as naturally as your singing voice?
It happened so naturally, and it was never my intention to ever let anybody hear them. I wrote them during lockdown. And I found, like a lot of other people, I had a lot of space in my head to be able to just be. And I found myself waking up at about 4 a.m. And after I got used to, you know, the rhythm of your body waking up at 4, instead of just lying fretting going, I can't sleep, I decided, well, I have got nothing really to worry about. I've got all this time and space for the first time in my life. I'm just going to get up. And I would go out and listen to the birds, the bird song. And make a cup of tea and start writing my thoughts down. And I think it was that sense of being so far away from home that, and knowing that you can't get back, that I just started, it just opened up my heart. And I would phone my mother, who's, you know, she's 92 now, and I'd spend so many hours on the phone chatting to her and really listening to her, because I think, you know, we all take for granted, you know, our family and our parents, and you kind of think, oh, they're always going to be about. But actually, when you can't see them and you realize that all the stories they've been telling you for years have kind of fallen on deaf ears, and suddenly I just wanted to know so much more about where she's from, her place and my ancestors. And so all these poems started to come. And then Sam, I was brave enough to read a few of them out to him one day. And then it all developed very naturally. He said, let's put some music to those. And I mean, it's quite a long story, but in a nutshell, that's how it all came about. It was very organic and a lovely process.
Not everyone can do that, of course. Number one, write the poem, but then put the music to it. And that's the real trick, is being able to make it that it's listenable, that people want to continue to listen to it, as we were able to do there with that one. It's being able to deliver the poetry, the music, the accompaniment, and keep the attention of whoever the audience is, whether it's one person or a packed auditorium. Now, a lot of people did turn to writing poetry during lockdown. A lot of people were away from home, and wherever they were based, they didn't get a chance to go back and forward. Like, you weren't able to go back to Dungiven and see your mom and whatever. You would have been towards the south of England. That's basically where you were based during all of that.
Mm-hmm.
You were going through a lot of creativity in your mind. So those birds you're describing, those are like English birds. Those aren't Ben Brada birds.
Definitely not. Yeah, a different breed of birds down in the southwest of England. But, you know, they sing the same beautiful notes, and they were inspiring, actually. You know, I think, you know, nowadays and pre-COVID, I think I was always so caught up in your daily routine and the busyness of life and, you know, obviously children and the whole thing. And suddenly you had this peace and stillness, and you started to appreciate the smallest little things, you know. And sometimes I feel embarrassed talking about it, because, you know, I know not everybody had a great time during lockdown. But for myself and Sam and our family, it was the first time we didn't have to think about doing any live touring, or, you know, there was nothing pressing on us. We were able to just have peace.
Did you perform on air at all, like a lot of other people did, or whenever you go to talk about the book? How different will that be for you as opposed to previously doing CDs or downloads or whatever people choose, or over the last couple of years people have been choosing to source their music through? They would meet the star. They would meet Cara Dillon. They would have a chat with Sam on the periphery of Cara. You know, say, oh, you're Sam. Right, fine. Mm-hmm. You know, you seem to do most of the talking, which is understandable, especially in this neck of the woods. But whenever you're out of the book signings, how different will you find that? Are you expecting a different sort of clientele?
Do you know what? I think, you know, every gig that we've done so far, you know, we've done a couple of the poems with the music, and we played in the Opera House with the Belfast Arts Festival just a couple of months ago, and we sold it out, and the response was incredible. And I think our fans are interested in the book, and also we're attracting a lot of other, you know, people who are coming to the music via the book. And I feel a certain level of freedom with it, because these are my words. I haven't kind of had anybody trying to shoehorn me into doing something a particular way. And I have to say, it's the one piece of work that I'm most proud of in our career. You know, the book is all about where I'm from, traditions that we hold close to our heart, and, you know, our strong roots and our culture here. And, you know, I just can't wait to share it with people, because we, you know, obviously we go all over the place, and everybody can relate, actually. You know, there's one of the pieces I've written about my mother making soda scones in the kitchen, and how, you know, when you live away from home, something so mundane that happens every day becomes nearly romanticized. And so far on our concerts, it's really hit a nerve. Like, people up and down England have been just, oh my God, you've brought back a memory, or, you know, my mother used to make things. And, you know, it's very emotional, actually. And as I say, I'm really proud of it.
There'll be people shouting at the radio now because we haven't told them the name of the book or how they can get the book. So tell us about that.
So the book is called Coming Home, and the new album is called Coming Home too. So the book has lots of stories, and also the poetry, and then the album has got the poetry put to music. And so you can buy the book on our website, or here in Belfast you can get it at No Alibis Bookshop. And the both are going to be officially released on the 15th of March.
And the website address is?
caradillon.co.uk or caradillon.com.
Can't beat that at all. Now, let me take you to probably the greatest poet of them all from that neck of the woods. Like, you're Dungiven, it's not that far from Ballaghy.
I know.
How impressed would the great man have been if he was reading your poetry?
Well, isn't it a good job he's not around to have to comment on it? I have no clue. And, you know, as I said before, I never, ever intended for anybody to really hear this. It's kind of taken on its own journey. It's taken on its own life. And, I mean, Seamus Heaney is just one of the masters. And he's been an inspiration my whole life. And proud that he's just over the hill from Dungiven. But, you know, I don't think I can compare anything to Seamus Heaney.
You're too modest. You're far too modest. What was Glastonbury like to actually do? Because you don't live that far from it. What was it like to be there actually on the stage doing it?
It was brilliant. It was absolutely fantastic. We've performed a couple of times at Glastonbury, but this year was particularly exciting for us because, you know, our children, our boys are 17 now, and we were told that we could only have them, they're very strict with their tickets at Glastonbury if you're performing. So you have to have performers or crew or they won't let you in, you know. And so they were really, we're really struggling for tickets because we have a whole band of like 7 or 8 of us. And then they were saying, well, can we not come? And I said, well, you can if you perform. And they were like, shut up. And I said,
these are 17 year olds and 13 year olds.
Yeah. And so one of our boys is really into rock music and plays electric guitar, and you know, the house is shaking. And I says, you might have to bring your guitar and just play a song. And he's like, I am not doing that. That is so cringy. I am not doing that.
That's typical teenager.
I know.
Isn't it?
And I says,
here's
you
a
don't
chance
your
to play Glastonbury. I'm not doing that because my mommy's doing it.
Exactly. So I said, well, then you don't get your ticket, but it's your choice. So he did, and they end up, he had to come along and, you know, do the walk of shame onto the big stage. And, you know, we had a fantastic time and very lucky to live very close to such an incredible place.
It's an amazing story. The Armagh Marketplace Theatre is the 21st of March. I'd say Armagh Marketplace Theatre, 21st of March, and the 22nd is the Guildhall. If you're down around Dunleary, you're playing Dunleary as well, and also Westport. I think that the other ones are all across in England: London, Northampton, Chester, Scunthorpe. You are one busy, busy woman.
All over the place.
Did you ever do Dungiven Castle?
We haven't, you know, there's chat now. I'm hoping to do a little book signing after the Guildhall concert in Derry in Dungiven, because basically the book is about the town and the people and the traditions that I love. And so that's going to be probably one of the most embarrassing mornings of my life. But anyway, you have to do these things.
It always is, isn't it? You can go wherever you like, but your own home patch is always where you'll be, you know, scrutinised just that little bit more. Cara, great seeing you again.
Thanks for coming by.
Cara Dillon with us here on the U105 phone-in.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.